Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you and I honor you. I give you praise. You're good. God, come what may, you're still good. No matter what, you're still good. Lord, oftentimes we falter. We sway to the left or to the right. You remain good. So tonight, Lord, I thank you for bringing us to this sacred place at this sacred time. Lord, if there's any among us, God, that are dealing with sickness, or even doubt, fear, or disbelief, help us. Open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Give us a receptive heart. And then give us the strength to walk it out. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. All right. We started dealing with the question on Sunday of what did God say? What did God say? Let me start this timer before y'all say that I done went over my time. So we started talking about what did God say. And we dealt with some issues of order. Tonight, as you had your paper, and I'll do a quick recap, I want you to write down the danger of missing grace. The danger of missing grace. Now, this still corresponds with what we're dealing with order. Still prompts us for the work that we have to do for the year. Starting on this Sunday, we'll be starting our journey through the book of Hebrews. And we're going to really deal with how Jesus is greater, like, than everything. Like, he's greater than everything. So let me quickly recap. Order means that everything is in the place that it must be. Everything is in the place that it must be. Not that you want it to be, not that you're comfortable with, that it must be. Then I told you five quick things. Number one, order is determined by the creator, not the benefactor. This should all be in your notes from Sunday. Order is determined by the creator, not the benefactor. It is God's voice that sets everything in motion. In other words, the wind didn't speak to God. God spoke to the wind. Make sense? Light didn't tell God what to do. God told light. Order has nothing to do with preference or circumstance. It is determined by creator, not benefactor. Number two, order is singular. There is only one way. Despite what you might hear, he is the way, not a way. Number three, when things are out of order, even if all the pieces are there, the intended function is not possible. Even if you got all the pieces, if it's out of order, you can't get the intended result. That makes sense? I alluded to the premise of a puzzle on Sunday, and I saw a photo, I think it was on Instagram, of someone who said, this is how I live my life. And it was a puzzle of a horse on the water. And they took all of the colors that looked like the horse and shaped them in a horse, and all the colors that looked like water and shaped it in the water. It was like, done. In other words, instead of doing the puzzle, they just gave their version. Like, look just like it, but it ain't it. It's not it. You are not going to be able to XJ900 the things of God. Somebody gonna catch that reference later. She's not gonna be able to do that. Oh boy. Number four, the order of the Lord triggers the guarantee of the Lord. The order of the Lord triggers the guarantee of the Lord. You do it his way, you get what he promised. But inversely, number five, the order of the world triggers the guarantee of the Lord. You do it the world's way, you're going to get what he promised. So, as I said Sunday, some of us are completely out of order. And we're out of order because we have experienced so much that we've allowed either the will of others or even our own will to push us out of order. There comes a place, people of God, where the pain that you're going through is louder than God. And I use this phrase on Sunday, it causes you to make alternative arrangements. What do I have to do to compensate for how I feel? And so this year, told us that it was the year of believing the order of the Lord. Now, I need to say something else prophetically before I jump into the scripture. If you remember a few weeks ago, I told you 2023. If you look at that two, that three, that's seven. Seven is completion. But that two, and that four, that's eight. Eight is new beginning. So there are some cycles that are being completed. Some never agains. 2023, for some of you, it should have been and never again. But for every never again, there is also a from now on. I'll do it again. For every never again, there is also from now on. But just the other day, Heidi, I received another kind of prophetic slap. Because I don't know how I missed it, but 2024 is a leap year. That's okay. I don't know how I missed that, but it hit me, and it hit me because a particular preacher was doing a terrible job. Because he was talking about the leap year and how you were going to leap over and you were going to bypass. But hold on. Let's look at this a little bit. Let's just be practical for a second. Nothing spooky, nothing deep. I just need y'all to pay attention to what I'm about to say. I said 2023, seven, completed a cycle. 2024, eight, new beginning. It's a leap year. Still ain't caught it. It takes approximately 365.25 days for the Earth to orbit the sun. I'm going to say it again. It takes approximately 365.25 days for the Earth to orbit the sun. That's a solar year. So we usually round the days in the calendar down to 365. To make up for the missing partial day, we add one day to our calendar every 4 years. That's a leap year. Watch it. So while we've been rounding down for 4 years, watch this. Listen what the writer says. The leftover piece of a day didn't disappear. Still ain't caught it. To make sure we count the extra day, we add one whole day to the calendar. So literally, by next month, we're about to make up lost time. I said 2023, seven. 2024, eight, new beginning. And literally, in your do-over, your fresh start year, God is saying, I'm about to allow you to make up for lost time. That's not even spooky. It's next month. You get another whole 24 hours because for the last 4 years, time has been being taken from you. This is true. If they didn't do a leap year, here's what the scientist says. If they didn't do a leap year, eventually summer months would be in the winter. because you would lose so much time. Oh, Lord. So a leap year literally recalibrates the entire earth to do what it's supposed to do. Because the solar cycle is how God intended it. We made the days. So the leap year is when we catch up to God's creation. Never mind. So there are literally things where God is like, I'm about to allow you to catch up to me and to make up for lost time. If that ain't good news, that's okay. That's okay. Somebody gonna wake up on the 29th and you're gonna have a good old Baptist fit. That's all right. It's all right. You're going to wake up on the 29th. They're going to be, what's wrong? You're going to be weeping all day long. Like, I'm literally, I want y'all to think about this for a minute. On the 29th of February, you're going to be walking around in extra time. The, right. You literally are going to walk around tangibly in I will restore the years. Never mind. The 29th is literally, I will restore the years. Oh, matter of fact, I might call a fast on the 29th. Because somebody needs to be like, hold on, Lord. This extra. Let me, I dare not give it to you. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. So write this down. Lord, help us. I know it. Literally, tangibly. And for everybody who's read Brother Lawrence, this is literally practicing the presence. Y'all gonna wake up on the 29th like, it's for real. I'm walking in extra. I'm walking in a day that don't exist. Nobody says that there's 366 days in a year. That answer would be wrong. If they asked you how many days are in a year, the correct answer is 365. You answer anything else, they would tell you you were wrong. But this year, you're going to breathe, walk in, transact, do business in a day that don't exist. This is good to me. All right. So as we move forward, I got so much I want to say tonight. Write this down. Don't miss the promise and instruction because of provision. I know it. Write it down just like that. Don't miss the promise and the instructions because of the provision. Third time. Don't miss the promise and the instructions because of the provision. How many of you are willing to admit that you've missed some things before? Okay. So the Lord gives you chance after chance to hear him, to glean from him, to get it right, and we miss him anyway, right? This proves that all of us are recipients of grace because we miss God and he loves us. We miss God and he gives us another chance. Now, I thank God for grace, but you shouldn't continue in sin that grace may abound. Grace is supposed to teach you something, amen? But there's a danger when you miss it. Look at Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Now, in Numbers chapter 20, we see Moses and the children of Israel, and here it is. They've been acting a fool. We know the spies done went out, and everything's jumping off. But the children of Israel seem to have such a track record of doing the wrong thing, just like us. So in Numbers chapter 20, verse 1, the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month. People stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. Stop. The sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the month, in the first month. And the people stayed at Kadesh. Miriam died there, was buried there. This is important. And a lot of this word tonight is going to be prophetic. I understand that in the Hebrew calendar, the first month of the year is not January. I understand all of that. But I need you to understand that the first month was the first month, and we in the first month right now. So here it is. The children of Israel come to this place. It's in the first month, and the very first thing that happens is Miriam dies. Miriam is one of the two people that opposed Moses. So in the first month of the year, the opposer died. Never mind. I'm just going to keep teaching. In the first month, the opposer died. And for many of you, there are some people in this room who have been opposed for a long time. In this month, the opposition's about to lift. See, that's okay. I'm going to keep teaching until we start getting some receiving. I said the opposition going to lift, and you got to leave it here. Don't still be walking in the opposition when you get to your extra day. That's next month. Your opposition is about to be lifted. Now look at verse 2. Now the opposition's gone, right? Miriam's gone. She's buried. Verse 2. There was no water for the congregation. They assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. Now hold on. The opposition is gone, but we ain't got no water. My opposition is gone, but I still got an issue. Hold on. The opposer is gone, but the problem still remains. But where there is no opposition, you're free to move differently. I need you to separate the opposer from what the opposer caused. Separate the opposer from the circumstances of the journey. Just understand that the opposition takes the pressure off you. Miriam's gone. Now, I'm sure Moses felt some type of way because, you know, he loved Miriam and all that type of stuff. But God was a little salty with Miriam. He gave her leprosy. Go read the text when you get a chance. He said, this is what God said when you go read the text. He said, I got to talk to y'all in mysterious ways. I talked to him face to face. Basically, God was like, who you think you fooling with? Fooling with the man that I put in charge. Then he told Moses, put her out the camp. Put her out the camp. Otherwise, I'm not going to cleanse her. She held up everybody. See, the issue of the opposer is not that the opposer wins. The issue of the opposer is the opposer slows progress. There's no water for the congregation. They assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people, verse 3, thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. They do this stuff all the time. Verse 4. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into the wilderness? Well, first of all, because the promised land is out here. For us and our beasts to die here. Why have you made us come up from Egypt? Well, secondly, because Pharaoh was crazy. To bring us into this wretched place. Now watch this statement. It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. Now wait a minute. I just showed you a place flowing with milk and honey and y'all didn't want to go there. Y'all want to complain about what this place don't have, but then you just experienced your promise and you didn't want to walk into that. Make up your mind. Make up, come on, y'all. For some of us, God is saying, listen, what is it going to be? Either you want what I'm promising you or you want to stay out here in this wilderness. They're complaining about the wilderness. They're complaining about the promise. When bondage becomes what you long for. When bondage becomes what you long for, you didn't want to be free. You just wanted to be satisfied. Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into the wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink. Now look at how Moses and Aaron respond. Then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord appears to them. So they did the right thing. And then look at what the Lord says. The Lord spoke, verse 7, to Moses saying, take the rod and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before the eyes. What did God say? Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes. I said, what did God say? Take the rock. This is what we're talking about, right? You and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. There's the provision. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. Now, let me go back to the point I made a minute ago. Don't miss the promise and instruction because of the provision. This is the main point. Now, what did God say? He said, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes that it may yield its water. Clear instructions. Clear instructions. Now remember I said, how many of y'all done missed it? Clear instructions. Stuff like forgive and you shall be forgiven. Clear instructions. Very clear. Give and it shall be given. Clear instructions. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Clear instructions. But how many of us have missed it? Clear instructions. And these clear instructions were going to meet the needs of the people, even though the people were grumbling. Come on now. I told you, there's a danger in missing grace. The people, these people is ignorant. For real, that's what my daddy would call them, ignorant. That's what Lion Sr. would say. He said, they ignorant. That's what my daddy would say. Right? Because really, after everything God has done for them, after everything Moses has done, these people caught on fire and Moses ran through them and prayed for them that the fire would get, would go out. These people have gotten manna. These people have been fed and their clothes are not wearing out. And all they keep saying is, we want to go back. We'd rather be beaten than serve God. This time, Moses, on the other hand, is about to learn a serious lesson about missing the voice himself. And watch this. He missed the voice because of his emotions. Okay. I said he missed the voice because of his emotions. One more time. I said he missed the voice, not because the instructions weren't clear. He missed the voice because of his own emotions. And some of you in this year, I don't want you to miss it because you're mad about it. I don't want you to miss it because you're mad at them. Oh, come on here. I don't want you to miss it because of what they said or didn't say or did or didn't do. Don't miss what God has for you because of anything that got your emotions topsy-turvy. Moses is about to mess up everything because of his emotions. In the face of clear instructions, his emotions made it unclear. Oh, Bishop, it's not that bad. Okay. Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. Wait a minute. Go back to verse 8. Verse 8. Take the rod. Verse 9. Moses took the rod. So far, so good. So far, so good. God said, take the rod. Moses said, okay, got the rod. Verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. Go back to verse 8. Take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation. So far, two for two. Verse 10. They gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels. Here we go. Why you gotta add that part? When we read the text, you already know we about to go left right here. Come on, because some of y'all wait, you itching for an opportunity to get somebody told. Huh? And look at this. It's, Moses got the rod, like, okay, here we go. And then he gathered the assembly, two for two, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels. I can hear it. Listen now, you rebels. Ah, we know it's about to go bad. It's about to go bad. He said, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Oh, you mad? He's emotional. That's emotion. Soon as you get to, watch this, criticizing who God wants to bless. They asked for water. God said he was going to give them water. And what Moses is about to do, listen, he's mad that God is going to supply the people who got a problem with him. He feels some type of way about the people that God is providing for. This is no different than the older brother of the prodigal. I can't believe you killing the fatted calf. I can't believe you ain't never done all of this for me. The father was like, you live here. And so, think about this. Moses, when God struck Miriam with leprosy, he did so because she spoke against Moses. He says, Moses is special. I don't speak to him in dark sayings. I speak clear to him. I don't come to him through intermediaries. I speak directly to him. And now the very guy who has this special relationship with God let his emotions overshadow that. And instead of saying, God, if you want to give him water, let's get him water. And partial obedience is no obedience at all. Moses is going to get no credit for you got two out of three. He gathered the rod. Got to be quicker than that. He gathered the rod, right? And then he gathers the people. Now look at verse 11. Moses lifted up his hand. I ain't said nothing about this, Moses. And struck the rock twice. Not once, twice, with the rod. Now, here's the part we often don't look at. Look, water came forth abundantly. Wait. And the congregation and their beasts drank. Let's go back to my point. Don't miss the promises and instruction because of provision. They wanted water. They got water. And God ain't happy. Oh, y'all, come on. They didn't get just a trickle. Water is pouring out the rock abundantly, and they're still out of order. So you can be in the midst of abundance and out of the ark of safety. You can have a lot and have nothing. His very statement was out of order. We knew it's going bad as soon as he said, listen, you rebels. We have abundant water and God is not pleased. Now look at verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me. But whoa, and they're drinking water. But it was never about the water. It was always about you doing what I said. You didn't believe me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. You about to miss everything, even though you got the water. Now, I thought about this time and time again. I kept on thinking about this, Elder Angela, and I kept saying, no, wait a minute now. I understand, God, that you didn't tell him to hit the rock. But what in the world would cause Moses to feel like he needed to hit the rock with that rod? And here's the thing. All of the miracles had been done with the rod. And God wanted to finally show him and show the people that there was a miracle within his mouth. He was finally about to transition him to show him that there was something inside. Just speak. You ain't got, come on, Red Sea, he had to, huh? When they went to war, he had to. When he went before Pharaoh, he had to throw down, come on. All of his great moments, he used the rod. And Moses is at a point where God is about to show him, it's in you. You don't just carry it outside of you. Speak it. You can say it. You don't need any of that external. It's something within. And Moses was so used to using external means to get people's attention. I want to run. He's so used to using the external to get people to pay attention to him, he didn't realize that the external was only a symbol of the internal. You ain't got to, if you've got to do all of that to get them to see, okay, never mind. What are they really attracted to? See, for some of us, we out of order. Heart, your spirit, your soul, and then your body. God said, just speak. Take the rod, but you don't need the rod. It's not that I have a problem with the rod. I'm trying to show you that that's not where the real power is. Some of us still ain't got that part right. A bunch of external. God is like, will you please? Why do you think we carry the Holy Ghost? Some of us still won't open up. The Bible tells you things like death and life are in the power of the tongue. You quote it and don't put it into practice. Huh? Every word you will be justified. Every word you will be condemned, but you don't put it into practice. Speak to the mountain, but you don't put it into practice. And here in the Old Testament, he says, just say something to that rock. You don't need all that. And we're in a day and age. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you. We're in a day and age where we keep trying to manipulate the people with the external. And the truth is, some of us ain't got nothing in us. Okay. That's why I take all that. He said, you didn't believe me. I would hate to hear that from God. You didn't believe me. Think about that. That is the indictment of some of our whole last year. You didn't believe me. You believed everything else but me. Remember how we spoke about the Lazarus narrative on Sunday and how the goal was to make believers out of them. The Lord was trying to make a believer out of Moses. It wasn't about the water. How you know it wasn't about the water? Because he's wrong and they still drinking. They're drinking. That's grace. There's water flowing in abundance. And so many of us think that just because I got what I wanted, I got the job. God is like, but I didn't want you to have it. Not like that. It's possible to get what you want and lose promise. See, there is a danger. Listen, there is a danger in elevating outcomes over instructions. Oh. That's out of order. We're talking about order, y'all. It is out of order when you elevate the outcome over the instruction. So when you simply say, I got it, did you get it the right way? Oh, come on, we're going to go somewhere tonight. I got the job, but you had to wear a low-cut shirt to get it. You didn't get it the right way. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I got the house, but you got the house using somebody else's credit. Not a co-signer. Come on now. You did it all wrong. You lied on the app. That's not your income. So you got it, but you didn't get it the right way. Because now you in the house that you can't afford because you used somebody else's income, had them spoof it. Come on now. All the utilities in your kids' names. So by the time your kid get to credit worthy age, they credit already tore up. Huh? Because you done put the Time Warner in their name and then didn't pay the bill and got your kid sent to collection when they was five. Mm-hmm. So you got the job, you didn't get it the right way. You got the house, you didn't get it the right way. You got the relationship. But did you do it God's way? You can get the water and forfeit the promise. And listen, some of this is due to the fact that we don't fully understand the scripture, you shall know a tree by its fruit. Huh, Bishop? We talk about it all the time. You'll know a tree by its fruit. The fruit of a thing is not simply, I'm talking about biblically, the fruit of a thing is not simply quantitative. It must be qualitative. Explain. I wasn't going to say nothing about this, but I done got so many calls I need to go ahead and deal, especially because of the seat that I sit in. This particular controversy that is now hitting the body of Christ about said pastor who turned said church into said club on said New Year's Eve. I have anything to say until said rebuttal. This is important. Because his rebuttal is, until you can outsoul win me, shut up. End quote. Hold on. He talked about 100 and some people gave their life to Christ. Hold on. So you cannot say anything to me. I've heard the whole, you know, see, that's the fruit. That's the fruit. You see, that's the fruit. And if he's winning souls, then that's the fruit, and we ain't got nothing to say. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it, that's the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Where there is no gospel, there is no salvation. So when someone gives me their quantitative measure of success, X amount of people came to the altar. In the absence of a gospel, you have not led them to Jesus. You have led them to their love of that experience. They may have loved what you did. And you could have said they joined your church, but do not tell me they're saved when you have not validated their moment with the gospel. I speak as clear as I can. We got to stop with all this foolishness talking about, you know, a tree by its fruit, because it is possible to have an abundance of water coming out of a rock that you did not obey God to get. And everybody who drank that water didn't see promise. Let's come on, let's do the text right. They wanted water, they got water. But because the leader, Lord have mercy, if Moses would have spoke to that rock like God said, then they would have drank and still had an option for promise. But because the leader got water from a rock illicitly, nobody who drank the water or the leader got to go to promise. Do not tell me that just because people came to that altar that God is pleased. Because I'm speaking, I need everybody to hear me as clear as possible. That rock got hit, not spoke to. And just because there was water flowing don't mean anybody, I don't care how many people there are, they didn't come to Jesus. And when you keep lifting up a false Christ, then y'all can get mad as you want to, but somebody got to stand for something. No, I'm serious. I ain't calling no names. Y'all know who I'm talking about. But somebody got to stand for something. I don't care how popular. See, because that's what's wrong. We have created a celebrity class. Superstars, and can't nobody talk about your favorites. What is the Bible? This is my favorite. Here go my superstar. This it. He the star. Jesus. All right. But I don't think we understand. Glory to the Lamb. I got 21 whole more minutes. I don't think we understand what the scripture means. You know a tree by its fruit. Look at all that fruit. Look at all that fruit. Okay, go to Matthew 7. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on to Matthew 7. Thank you. Verse 15. Beware of the false prophets. Who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, I know somebody is in my inbox probably right now. That's okay. That's okay. God bless your heart. Give me chapter and verse, please, while you're in there. But inwardly are ravenous wolves. Because I'm not going to get into no social media debates about this. I'm talking to my congregation. I'm not getting into no social media debates. We having this conversation. I done received 5 or 6 phone calls from people in the congregation today. So let me go ahead and set it straight. Because, see, what happens is we start thinking that because the altar is full, God is present. Huh? I don't care how full the altar is. See, we've learned how to manipulate the altar. Huh? Come on now. At any given time, anybody with any skill can manipulate the altar. Huh? Come on, we got people teaching in these school of the prophets just riff until they start crying. What are you talking about, you false joker, you? You just go up and when somebody is in your presence and you just go to riffing, just start saying stuff. And if you see them, if you see it hit them and they get emotional, you know you in the spirit. No, you're a manipulator. You're a witch. You're a warlock. You're false. You're leading people to damnation. That's the word of the Lord. You're a soothsayer. But we give those people money all the while we overlook the remnant. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Now, here's where we get it messed up, Carlos. We go, oh, look how many people in their church. Look how many people came to the altar. It was jumping in there. So what I keep hearing is, look at all them young people. There was a lot of young people in there. Where else was the young people going to go? They would have went anywhere where they were given the opportunity to compromise. You want us to fill this place up? No problem. Real simple. The more compromise, the lower the barrier of entry. Well, I became all things to all men that I may win some. Stop that. At no time did Paul become a sinner. Well, Jesus reclined with the sinner and the publicans. Quit that one out too. Quit it out. Because watch this. He didn't go kick it with them. Them wasn't his buddies. And everybody he was with, he impacted positively. They weren't influencing him. He was the influencer. And you can't influence me doing what I do. No, no, No. Don't tell me you're influencing the drug head smoking with them. Don't tell me you're not influencing somebody who's dealing with problems of alcohol going to get drunk with them. Neither are we influencing the people who are going out here and acting in all manners of debauchery when we're doing it with them and when we turn the sacred place into a place that is comfortable. Mm-hmm. Now, they can say we do too much here, and you know what I'm prepared to say? We sure do. We do the most. We do the most. We do the most. We do the most. But there's some stuff that ain't gonna take place in this sanctuary. Go ahead. Talk to me. Yeah, all day, every day. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so people can get that even though you're not living right.
Mm-hmm.
You can still speak the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then the word can still do what God would have it to do.
Watch. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God.
Yes.
So the gospel gonna do what the gospel gonna do.
Right.
In this instance, it wasn't no gospel present. There was no word. This was a party. You said it was a rave? You said it was a rave. So watch. Here's the thing. If I turn on some debauchery up here, and folks up here talking and enjoying the debauchery that I'm playing over the church speakers, because I'm still trying to figure out how bitter water and sweet come out the same fountain. So they enjoying the debauchery and dancing in the sacred place with the debauchery. That wasn't the dance of the Lord. I can't say that it just wasn't no gospel. Somebody said, well, they could have played the lyric, the version without the lyrics. Let me tell y'all something about music. Let me tell y'all something about music. I know one or two things about it. Let me tell y'all something about music. Play the instrumental, and you'll still know the words. See, back when I was youth pastor, we used to play all these games. See, I'm not talking about what I think. I'm talking about what I know. Back when I was youth pastor for my father, we used to play all these games. And I remember, me and the musician, we would be throwing a little Parliament Funkadelic in. I mean, we'd be, and we get to playing Flashlight right in the middle of worship. We played Atomic Dog. I mean, right in the middle of worship. If we could figure out a song where we could make the Atomic Dog work with them new lyrics, we was gonna play it. We was gonna play every type of secular debauchery. Think about that. We talking about Jesus, and we talk about the Atomic Dog at the same time. Just go read them lyrics when y'all get a chance. They a mess. And that's what we was playing during worship. And everybody's all hype. They was like, ooh, we had church. We did not. Because wasn't nobody focused on Jesus. What they was focused on is, why must I feel like that? See y'all, why must I chase the cat? None but the dog in me. That's what they was hearing in church. Okay. You will know them by the fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? 17. Every good tree bears good fruit. Watch it. Every good tree bears what kind of fruit? But the bad tree bears what kind of fruit? Bad fruit. Notice in verse 17, it is not quantitative. It's qualitative. It says good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. This means that a bad tree can bear a bunch of bad fruit. A good tree may only bear one good apple. The one good apple is still good. And the 1,000 bad apples are still bad. This is the issue with major portions of the prosperity gospel. Because the prosperity gospel often leans into abundance equals spirit. 18, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Well, But Bishop, he said the people came to Jesus. Isn't that good fruit? Well, everybody will say they came to Jesus if you tell them they came to Jesus. Okay. Nicodemus, you must be born again. In order to be born again, you must be born of water and of spirit. That's how you get born again. Now, we know it got extrapolated even the more in Romans 10. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. All right? You must be born again. That word born again, to be born from above. So watch this. If to be born again means to be born from above, that means that it's also possible to be born from below. Yep. And if you give me the option to be born from below, especially if it's comfortable, turn up the woofers. 21. Let's get even clearer. 10 more minutes. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is the part that we don't add with you shall know them by their fruit. This is all one narrative. This is all one teaching of the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So y'all tell me, do we cancel the debauchery that led to their decision? Are y'all following me? Okay, so think about this text that we've been in. Fruit, water, lots of it. But it was bad because of how they got it. If I go rob the bank and now I'm a millionaire, am I blessed? I got away with it. I got away with it. I'm going to tithe. First. Off rip. And so watch this. The presence of an abundance of water does not indicate that water was received the right way. Because there's some folks in this room, y'all know, if it wasn't you, you know what it's like to have a booster blessing. That's all right. That out the trunk blessing. That out the trunk miracle. Huh? That out the trunk miracle. And y'all, I mean, come in church with it. Tell me, look what God done did. Ma'am, you're an accessory. You're an accessory. You can go to jail for receiving stolen merchandise. You wearing it in church. Clean. Still got the ink tag on it. Oh, Lord have mercy. My first car radio, man. My first car radio, Circuit City and Trotwood. Y'all don't know nothing about it. My first car radio, Circuit City and Trotwood. My homeboy worked there. My homeboy worked there. I looked, it was a Kenwood. It was a detachable face. Y'all don't know about detachable faces. That's how you kept your stuff from getting stolen. Huh? Can't remember how much it was on the sticker. He said, just give me $100. I got you. Threw him $100. He came out with the box. We installed it in the alley behind his mama house. The Lord didn't bless me. So what if? What if our churches are full of stolen merchandise? People who we use nefarious means to boost. Never mind. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name. Cast out demons. In your name, perform miracles. 23, I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Not I've never been made aware. We've just never been close. We've never had any intimate relation. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here's the thing. When you go back and you study the text in Numbers, here's what you will find. They drink all that water. God said, none of y'all going. He told Moses, you don't get to go. And then guess what else happened after that? Then Aaron died. Oh, it's okay. Miriam dies at the beginning. Aaron dies. And Moses is left by himself to watch. He brought him out, but couldn't take him in. Bunch of water came from the rock, though. Because it is possible to have provision and miss promise. It's out of order. It's what happens when you miss grace. When you overlook what God is trying to do and say, provide to you. And truth is, some of you missed it all 2023. Missed it for a whole year. I mean, missed it all year. We in a new year, and God is like, all right now. 7 to 8. Get yourself together. Don't miss it twice. Don't miss it again. And then what? Stop blaming everybody else. I missed it because so-and-so. No, you missed it because you missed it. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. I honor you and give you praise. Lord, help us to always raise and hold the standard. To live the standard and not just talk about the standard. Lord, I pray for every leader in the body of Christ. I pray for the leaders who are missing you. I pray that they turn, that their heart genuinely turns. Lord, for those leaders that are operating under nefarious means, if they don't know any better, send someone into their life to hold them accountable and to show them a better way. Lord, I'm not praying for their destruction, but I am praying for their exposure. I want them exposed to you. I want them exposed to truth. Lord, this is not about beating anybody down, but Lord, strengthen us to be salt and light, because that's what you told us to be. God, we know that there will be clear separation, but in that clear separation, Lord, help us walk in love, but also walk in truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Bless y'all.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.